All right, good morning. Thank you for gathering together again on this Sunday as we continue our study in the letter to the Romans. And I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 21. Over recent weeks, we have been on a journey of rich and deep and in some ways confounding theological truth. We heard a few weeks ago about God's sovereign choice to be merciful to us, which is the ultimate basis of our salvation. There was nothing that we could do or say to change our position before God, but He in His grace changed it. We learned next that we needed righteousness. We needed to be made right before Him so that on the day of judgment we could face Him with hope, and that that righteousness comes to us through faith alone, by grace alone. Well, we're going to continue this morning in Romans chapter 10 to better understand what is going on in the physical realm when it comes to salvation, conversion, becoming righteous with God. We've heard a lot so far about the spiritual realm, what God is doing to change our hearts and to bring us to Himself, the very thing that He's doing. We believe and pray around the world with all different kinds of people. But today we're going to focus on what's happening in the physical realm. We want to know more about how it works so that we can know what to expect and so that we can know what to do. And so from this passage in Romans 10, I'm going to show you three considerations of what is going on in God's work to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the first one. Faith follows hearing. You'll notice as we look at each consideration that we're basically working our way backwards. We're looking at what happens when someone comes to faith and then stepping back to see how that has been made possible by God's work in the world. And this is the first thing we notice. Faith follows hearing. In Romans 10, 14, we read this. How can they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in Him on whom they have not heard? We find right here in Romans 10:14 is a foundational principle of the gospel that we continue to hold up in our church and remind each other of every opportunity that we can. And it is simply this, that the gospel is something we hear. It's not something that we do. We don't, though we sometimes use the language, and we understand what each other means when we say we want to live the gospel. In reality, it's impossible to live the gospel. We can live out of the implications of the gospel. We can, with our lives, show the goodness of the gospel. But there's no way to live the gospel because the gospel is not a thing that we do. It's not a law. It is an announcement. It's something that we hear with our ears and we hear with our hearts. It is a life-changing announcement about what Jesus has done for sinners like us. And that's why we call the gospel good news. It's good news without any measure of bad news whatsoever. We do know that the Bible gives us much bad news, but we know that that comes in Scripture through the law. God's righteous expectations upon us, His commands, His rules, His regulations. We hear the law and we compare ourselves to it and we realize that we have fallen short and we deserve His wrath. That sounds to me like very bad news. But the gospel is that announcement of good news. It's not good news about what we can do or what we have done. There's nothing that we can do, and we've done nothing good. The gospel is an announcement about what He has done for us in spite of who we are and in spite of what we have done. Listen to those words again in the second part, the second sentence or question in Romans 10:14. How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? The question that he's asking is meant to be rhetorical. It has a clear answer. And the clear answer the Apostle Paul has been building from the beginning of Romans 1 all the way to the very end is that it is impossible to have faith without hearing. That is how faith comes to us. If you want to know how someone, in simple terms, comes to Christ, leaves the kingdom of darkness, and comes into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, it is by hearing. It is not by doing. That's why if we jump down to verse 17, Paul says this. So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now that's an amazing statement, because we have to answer the question, what is it that we're hearing? And of course, we know from what he's saying that what a person hears when he goes from being non-Christian, not believing and following Jesus, to becoming a follower, a lover, a worshiper of Jesus, is that, of course, that person hears the gospel, hears the good news. But there is something more profound and more powerful that every person in here who is a Christian has heard, and that is what has brought you to Christ. And that is that you heard Jesus Christ himself. Listen again to what he says. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. If you're a Christian today, it's not just because another faithful Christian shared the gospel with you and that person's voice made an impact upon you and changed your heart. That's not possible. I can't change anyone's heart. What has actually happened to you? Is the Lord of glory, the Son of God himself, in the gospel, in your hearing, preached it to you by himself into your heart. And when his perfect, powerful words hit that hard, stony exterior of your heart melted. And he gave you a heart of flesh. He changed you. You see, it is hearing that works faith in us. And it is the word of Christ, ultimately, that we hear when we hear the gospel and it changes us. But notice what he says in verse 16. He says, however, they, now you remember from the context, the they that Paul is really concerned about right now are his fellow Jews. He's concerned that they have not come to faith in the true Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, but that they have rejected him. They have rejected him in such a way that they have been a part of him being put to death. They wanted to get rid of him and not hear anything from him anymore. They were not willing to hear. Even when he preached certain things, as was true of the disciples that followed him, many of the people at the time who didn't want to hear would literally stop up their ears with their fingers and scream at the top of their lungs so that they couldn't hear what he was saying. That's what Paul's so concerned about. He wants the Jews to hear. Why? Because he knows that faith comes from hearing. But he says in verse 16, however, they did not all heed the good news. They didn't listen to it. They didn't accept it. They didn't believe it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, what is he talking about here with Isaiah? That's actually coming, you may remember, from Isaiah 53. It's about the suffering servant. This detailed account of who the coming Messiah would be in incredible clarity that then lines up perfectly with what we see going on in the life and work and death of Jesus of Nazareth. But at the very beginning, the first verse is, Lord, who has believed our report? Who has seen the arm of the Lord revealed? We keep going around telling people about the coming Messiah, and they're not listening to us. They're not believing us. And then Paul continues to see this work out in his day, as the Jews have rejected Jesus. Who has believed our report? Well, they had not heard, and they had not believed. They did not hear with faith. It didn't change their hearts. So what we're taking away first is this important principle that faith comes from hearing. This is God's ordained way of bringing people to Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. You must hear the good news of Jesus, and you must hear it from Christ himself through the powerful words given to other believers to tell you about Jesus in order to be saved. That is his method. We have an incredible incredible sin problem. There is no other problem in the human life that compares to the problem of sin. It is a cancer that has infected us at the deepest level of our souls. And so we don't need just any ordinary human remedy. There's nothing that a human being could say to get this powerful, life-changing grace down to the depths of our souls where the cancer has wiggled and sunk to. We need a special work of God's grace, hearing with faith in order for our hearts to be changed. My sister and her husband are doctors, essentially. My sister's finishing med school, but she's learning a lot of things in her rotations and working 12-hour days. It's fascinating to me to hear about the different things that they do and what they have learned. It's amazing to me. You may have doctors that you know. Spend some time questioning them about all that they know, and it's astounding how much they have learned in the time of medical school, even things that they don't use every day. One of the things that she told me about was something called intrathecal chemotherapy. Now, that's a big word, which means that the chemotherapy drug in this procedure is administered into the spine of the person with cancer. It's not inserted into a port in the person's chest or arm or given through an IV, but directly into the spine. And the reason for that is because there are certain kinds of brain cancer that cannot be reached with the medication in any other way. There is the blood-brain barrier that keeps that medication from actually getting to where it needs to go. Therefore, for those people, this procedure is, in essence, the only way to get the help where it needs to be. It is the designated exclusive treatment of such a serious, deadly problem. That is exactly what we see in the spiritual realm when it comes to hearing the gospel with faith. There is no other way to get the life-changing reality of Jesus Christ into our souls in the way that God has determined it to be. And in His wisdom, it is His right to decide how people come to Christ, and this is what He has done. And the more that we explore the reality that hearing brings faith to us, and by faith we have righteousness, and by righteousness we rejoice in this great sovereign choice He made to save us, the more it makes sense. The more we realize what a good thing He has done for us by restricting salvation to coming to us just by hearing, not by doing. Because like we said, there's nothing that we can do. But here's what we need to understand. If we really want to get the inner workings of salvation so we know what to expect, that we have, according to what God reveals to us, an understanding of how it works, and so that we can be faithful when we go out sharing the gospel, is to know that salvation comes through a very particular kind of hearing. Now, we know from Scripture that there are two kinds of hearing. We see this first and most brilliantly in the hearing of God. He has perfect, ever-tuned ears. His hearing never diminishes. He doesn't need hearing aids or helps. He hears everything perfectly. Isn't it amazing to think that our God can hear the prayers of every single person around the world, regardless of whether that person is a Christian or not? He is hearing with His spiritual ears. But there's another kind of hearing. It's the effectual, profound, miracle-working kind of hearing that we see in God. It's possible for Him to hear us and yet not hear us. That's true for us as well. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 1:15. God is responding to the worthless offerings of His people at that time and the festivals of self-righteousness they had been giving to Him, thinking that that was going to improve their lot or change their relationship to Him. And this is what He says. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are covered with blood. So think about that first. With God, there is a hearing with a little h, and there's a hearing with a big h. The hearing with a little h is hearing the words of someone's prayers. But hearing with the big H is when those prayers are heard by God and he responds and he acts in a supernatural, miraculous way. It has a big difference in the end result. Just like our God, that's true for us as well. And we know that that's true because as we are hopefully sharing the gospel with people around us, we probably find that most of the times we share the gospel, the people who are hearing us are only hearing with a little H. And it's not until by God's sovereign work, sometime later, we find that they at some point began hearing with a big H. The words of the gospel, the word of Christ, wasn't just going in their ears and into their brains, but the word of God, the truth of the gospel, went in their ears and into their hearts. It's a different kind of hearing. And so we know that when Paul says faith comes from hearing, that it is that kind of life-changing hearing that he's talking about. It is not enough to simply hear the gospel. It must take hold of your heart and change you, because that is what real faith is. How then can they call on him in whom they have not believed? We need God to give us the gift of faith and belief so that when we hear with faith. We hear with dependence and trust. Similar, as some have said, to what it's like when you sit down in a chair. You put all of your weight into the chair and you rest there. That's the kind of hearing that we're talking about. And that's the kind of hearing that brings to us or works in us faith. Nevertheless, it's to everyone's advantage to listen carefully to the message of Christianity. That's why, though we know that God has salvation under control and that he is working to make sure the gospel gets everywhere that it needs to go, we want to be a part of that. And we want to be people who are repeatedly sharing the gospel to those that we know need to hear it. We want everyone in this world to make an informed decision about what they are going to do with Jesus Christ. Even for those of us here today, if you're not a Christian today, I want you to make an informed decision. I want you to hear the full truth of who God is and what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. But all along the way, we're praying. We're praying that as we share the gospel, God would give it power and carry it into the hearts of the people who hear us. And we're praying that he would change them and save them and bring them into our family so that we can continue growing up and growing out together. This is the way God has ordained that people will come to Christ. So what does that tell us? That tells us that if you have a friend or a family member and you want them to be saved from their sins and to know Jesus the way you have, the only thing you need to do is tell them the truth. Be faithful in telling them and fight against the temptation to think that if I live a life in front of them that looks Christian, they see me with a Bible, they see I go to church, every now and then I talk about the lunch that we had and how wonderful it was, the pork was delicious, and we met new friends. Don't fall into that. Because that kind of talking won't save anyone. The only kind of talking that will save someone is talking the gospel to them, getting the truth of the gospel to them. Do you have someone who comes to your mind that you know is not a believer? They're not following Jesus and you're concerned for their soul? I hope that you are. We're concerned for the souls of the unbelieving. And if you know who that person is, tell them. Tell them the good news of Jesus, who saves us. What else are we going to tell them? In fact, this is so important that we should be willing to risk life and limb, job and reputation, to tell them. Faith comes from hearing. Well, where does hearing come from? That's what we find next in Romans 10, 14c. Those letters just mean the different phrases or parts of a verse. In this third part of the verse, this is what we read. How will they hear without a preacher? It's another rhetorical question. How will they believe if they haven't heard? They won't. How will they hear unless someone preaches to them? Again, we don't expect, we shouldn't expect that anyone will be converted, that anyone will become a Christian unless they hear the preaching of the truth of the gospel. Now, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. There's no one like him, and he works in mysterious ways. So I at the same time say, is it possible that God will save someone without a lot of preaching going on, without them hearing it, I guess it's possible, but that's not what he's told us to expect. What he's told us to expect is that he will work through the preaching of the gospel to save people and no other means. He has already ordained the ends of salvation. He knows and has secured salvation for every person who will have it. And he has ordained the means. And these are the means. The word that Paul uses when he talks of a preacher is a herald. It's not just someone that stands up here on the platform on Sunday morning and preaches out. That's true. I'm heralding good news to you. But it's the kind of word that would apply to every single person who is sitting here today. You have been saved in part to be an ongoing herald so that others may hear, and that by hearing Christ in your heralding may have faith, and by faith they may be righteous and they may be saved. So I said at the very beginning that we want to understand this so that we know what to expect. And this is one very clear principle of what we should expect when it comes to salvation and evangelism. We should not expect that anyone will be converted apart from the preaching of the good news. Now, this raised a question for Paul and his readers, and we find it in verse 18. This is what he says. But I say, surely they've never heard, have they? So if faith comes from preaching, and we've been preaching the gospel to people, and his concern are his fellow Jews, surely they haven't heard, and that's why they haven't been coming. Not so. He says, indeed, they have. And he tells something of what God intends to do with the gospel and where he intends it to go. And Paul says, this is where it's been going. Listen as he goes on. Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. People think, well, maybe they haven't heard, and that's why they haven't believed. But Paul says, no, God is faithfully taking the gospel around the world, everywhere. He's quoting Psalm 19. If you remember Psalm 19 at the very beginning, it's the passage about the glory of God. And the glory of God is being declared night and day by the sky and the stars and everything in creation. The point of Psalm 19 that David writes is that the announcement of God's glory is getting everywhere. There's no one hidden from the heat of God's truth. Just as we are under the sun, it is supplying heat and light to everyone. He's saying this is what God is doing with the gospel. Just as his glory is resounding, his gospel is resounding. It is not because they have not heard or had someone preach to them. They have heard. He goes on in verse 19, but I say, and surely Israel did not know, did they? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. He's talking about now that they have rejected Jesus, that the gospel is going even further into the far reaches of the world, all the way out to the Gentiles. That's us. More on that in a moment. But first, let's make sure that we don't miss the big point. Hearing comes from heralding, and it must happen that way. So it gives us some concern when we hear that. Well, what about the people around the world who haven't heard? Will they be in heaven because they haven't heard? Will they be saved? Of course, the answer that we come to with this is, no, they will not. Because the reason that we need to hear is because every person around the world is a sinner and accountable to God. And it is only through hearing the good news that they may turn to Jesus Christ. And God has that all under control. But that's a concern for us, right? It should be as fellow sinners. We know what the weight of sin is like. And we know the terrible destiny of those who reject Jesus Christ is, according to what God has told us. So we should be wanting to get the gospel to them. Sometimes we get caught up in those questions, don't we? Well, what about the man who's stranded on the island and he never hears the gospel? And we spend a lot of time kicking that around and trying to find another way. The same question was asked of the great preacher Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s. They asked him, how can they be saved without ever hearing about Jesus? These people, wherever they are in the far reaches or in the jungles of Africa or off on a desert island somewhere. Spurgeon's response was incredibly convicting. And it fits in with exactly what we're hearing here in Romans chapter 10. He said, you're asking the wrong question. Rather, we should ask, how can we be saved if we do nothing to take the gospel to them? The Apostle Paul is not telling us that hearing comes from preaching simply so that we will know the way that it works. We're gleaning that. But also to motivate us. If we want people in the far reaches of the world to know about Jesus Christ and come in to be a part of our family, then we need to be going to them. We need to be sending as much as we possibly can. Because there is only one way. So here again, some more answers. If that is something that you've thought about before, what about people who haven't heard? Can they be saved? Ultimately, that's up to God, but here's what we expect. John 14:6, we read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I am grateful to be a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I'm grateful mainly to be Southern Baptist because of our cooperative efforts. We are the largest Protestant denomination in the world, and we are one of the strongest sending organizations in the world as well. The number of missionaries that we are constantly sending, the number of students that we are putting through training like seminary, the number of churches that are being planted everywhere is the result of our commitment to this truth. Hearing follows preaching. And we want people to be going as much as we possibly can. And that's our third principle as we come to the end of our passage for this morning. The first one was that faith follows hearing. Second one, that hearing follows preaching. And here's the third, preaching follows going or being sent. And that's what Paul says next in verse 15. How will they preach unless they are sent? There's the same answer once again that comes to mind. They won't. But yet we are working as a church to send as much as we can. We are sending ourselves out over and over again into our communities to make the gospel known. Yes, we're inviting people to church. We're inviting them because we want them to come here. We're also going out and telling. But we're going to be continually over time preparing people in our church who can go and be missionaries. We're praying. I'm praying that some of you are going to leave the United States and you're going to go somewhere else. That you are going to catch this reality and you are going to be so burdened by it for the sake of fellow sinners who are awaiting a day of judgment that you're going to give your life and your money and throw off everything else to go. Or that you are going to make great sacrifice by becoming a part of another church starting so that we can see the gospel planted somewhere else. Or that you're going to be willing to suffer in any way to get the gospel to your coworkers, to your friends, to your neighbors, because there's no way for people to hear and believe unless we go. And we have been given an incredible mission. We call it the Great Commission, and we're going to read that passage in Matthew 28 in just a moment. We have been given an incredible mission to be a part of by God. Because now what we have seen in Scripture and what Paul is talking about is that the gospel has not just been going to the Jews. But when the Jews rejected it, God, according to his eternal plan, sent the gospel to the nations of the world. He sent it out far and wide. That's why Paul says in verse 20, and Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. That is the history, ultimately, of Christianity. That the good news of a Messiah coming to save people was originally preached to the Jews. And they were the ones who were looking forward. And they were the ones who were receiving all of this sending work of God. Think about what a sender God is. even as far back as Genesis in the garden, God sent himself to them, and he walked with them, and he talked with them. Even after the fall, he continued to be a sender, an initiator of this work to get his good news and his purposes in the world accomplished. He sent himself by way of the burning bush before Moses. He sent manna down to care for his people in the wilderness. He sent prophets to continually announce this coming king and that everyone should be ready and listen to him. And then finally, he sent him. That coming king is Jesus. But he didn't stop sending then, did he? Because after Jesus was rejected by the Jews, God sent to the rest of the world. And that means that he's sending you. It is an incredible mission that he has put us on. Let me try to put it in this term, in these terms, and put some numbers on it. Now, just right now, today, in our world, there are 10 to 15 million Jews, people who draw their lineage from Abraham and carry it forward and are recognized as ethnic Jews. God, according to the Old Testament, God's chosen people. Imagine that there were that many Jews at this time, and the gospel's going to them, but they reject it and push it away. What does God do next? What does he do in response to such an incredible rebellion and refusal to hear with faith the good news that he's given to save them? He explodes the gospel around the world. How does that compare? 10 to 15 million Jews, and then the gospel goes out to be preached to everyone else? Do you know that there are 7.4 billion people in the world? The gospel is going continually still to all those Jews, but think about how many more people God is now taking the good news to. Take the 10 to 15 million out of the 7.4, and what do you get? You get a number that's very similar. 7,385,000,000 people. That is how God has exploded his gospel reach. That is what we have an opportunity to be a part of. That's why we've got to be going. There are so many people that we want to hear the gospel, and they cannot hear it unless someone preaches to them, heralds the news. We cannot herald unless we go. Just like God, it seems to be hardwired into us to be sending people. God is a sending God, and even people who are unbelievers are sending people. Think about it. Look at the different things that happen in our world, disasters or big riots and demonstrations or poverty and famine and sickness. What are people around the world constantly doing in response to those events? Sending. As soon as there is a tsunami or there is a tornado, we start sending people to cut up the trees and to clear the roads and to care for people. We send millions and millions and millions of dollars. We send vehicles and we send food and we send water. We're constantly doing that. But here's what needs to change. We don't need to stop sending those things, but we need to wake up to the one thing we're not thinking about sending, and that's the gospel. As soon as there is a protest or a demonstration like we have seen recently, we think about sending security, send weapons, send counter-protesters. Why are we not thinking, oh, we need to send the gospel? We need to get some people there so that they can be preaching the gospel to these people, because clearly these people are going to hell. Let's get the gospel to them. When there's a tsunami, often we're overwhelmed with the physical need. But do we sometimes forget about the spiritual need? This, I think, is what Paul wants us to do. Catch a glimpse of how beautiful it is to be ascending people and to recognize the incredible gift of good news that we're sending. That's why Paul says, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. It's another quote from Isaiah. This is Isaiah 52. Catch the whole thing he's quoting. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, the herald, who announces peace. That's what we're doing in the gospel. And brings good news of happiness. Who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. That's why the feet of those who bring good news is so beautiful, because what they're bringing is so incredibly beautiful. And that's our commission. the last words that Jesus gives to us. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. This is what we're to be doing as we go along. The grammar of the verse shows that the primary verb is make disciples. It's not go. In other words, everywhere that you go, be making disciples. But at the same time, we should not neglect that the word go is there. It requires that we go. We're going to have to go somewhere. We're going to have to get out of here, and we have to go out there. Go around the world. That's what we need to be doing. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And the word of Christ comes to people by preaching, and preachers are sent. Let's be a church of preachers, of heralds. Let's be people who even today at lunch are willing to put our reputation on the line, and we are willing to sacrifice and suffer because of the great good news that we have. Let's not live our lives, God forbid, that we live our lives in such a hurry, focusing on so many other things, that at the end, we're left wishing, boy, I sure wish I had shared the gospel more. I wish I had been more faithful. I wish I had more beautiful feet in the life that I live. That's what he's calling us to. Boy, we have every reason to. We have every confidence in his sovereignty. He's going to get the work done. People will come to Christ, and he will do it. So in closing, simple final application regarding what we've heard today. It's an application that comes up often in our church, and we apply it to different things. It's good for us to remember and get it into our hearts. It's three simple words. Repent, believe, obey. When it comes to evangelism, our faithfulness of sharing the gospel, everyone in here, we need to repent. We need to repent of how we've neglected it, the way we've tried to find workarounds for the gospel. Maybe I don't have to talk to the person. I'll just live my life, or I'll just give them money, and that'll make them think Christians are good and they want to be a Christian. We need to repent. And we need to believe what we're reading here. Do you believe this? Do you believe that no one is going to be saved unless they hear the gospel? Because if we believe that, it's going to result in this third part that we're going to obey. Let's repent today as a church. Let's believe this truth and let's obey. And that's going to be a continual process. Let's continue encouraging each other on. Let's work together. Let's go two by two. That worked in the New Testament. And let's just start going out sharing the gospel everywhere that we go. We need God's grace for this. We need his help. And so I'm going to pray again and ask God to help us. Help us to keep these truths on our hearts and minds, even as we sing and as we leave here today. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, again, we come to you at the end of our service here before we sing once more, asking you again for what we asked you for at the beginning. We ask you for grace. We ask you for help and strength. We ask you for repentance. Help us to believe and obey the truth. And help us to have beautiful feet. We do pray today, Father, that we would take seriously the eternal destiny of those around us, that we would take seriously the state of your glory in our world, and that we would be bold, zealous, empowered, and courageous, loud with the gospel. We pray that you would help us to remember the way that you have ordained salvation to come to others, and let us be the blessed voices, heralds, in this part that you've given us to play. We pray this all in Jesus' name as we sing again. Amen.